Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
I'm Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. My guest today is John Rulak. As founder of Nutiva, John has sourced and formulated $1 billion in retail sales of organic superfoods. He is a serial entrepreneur, investor, writer, philanthropist, and the executive producer of the Netflix blockbuster regenerative agriculture film, Kiss the Ground. John Rulak has founded six nonprofit organizations, including Great Plains Regeneration, Agroforestry Regeneration Communities, and Forest Forever. Somehow, he's found the time to speak with me today. Welcome, John, to Cannabis Radio.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
There is so much to cover in such a very short amount of time, but we'll just do our best. I want to get into your work with Nutiva, the importance of regenerative agricultural practices, and the great work that you've done introducing hemp to mainstream consumers. But first, what were some of your early influences? You're just extremely eco-conscious. Where did that environmental focus come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, a few things. One is that at a very young age, I was blessed that my mom and dad purchased a small island in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State that had no running water, no electricity. We had to bring our water there. It was a 3-acre island, and spent a lot of time in nature, for several months a year, and then the rest of the time, 10 miles from downtown LA in California. So that going back and forth between pristine air, nature, trees, spending time in the ocean, looking in the oceans, playing by the ocean, and then being in a very polluted environment, that definitely influenced me. At age 21, an unidentified truck driver dumped nuclear waste like 10 miles from my house when I was living in Altadena, California. And those two events really kind of set me, I think, set my focus for my life, to see how we can live on the earth in a more ecological way, and learn all different things are to do that.
You know, it feels to me as if there's an undeclared war against the natural world. As my day job, I'm the managing editor for Skunk Magazine, the only cannabis magazine I'm aware of solely dedicated to organic regenerative cannabis cultivation. In your words, quickly, what is regenerative agriculture and what role do big agro's practices play in the collapse of our biosphere we're living through?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's consider agriculture over the last, 100 years and let's say three phases. There was the degenerative agriculture where, the over plowing, spraying of pesticides, herbicides, using synthetic fertilizers from fracked natural gas and oil. And that's been going on for a long time. And essentially, you know, the amount of minerals in a carrot or broccoli is like a fifth from where it was 100 years ago. So we've really destroyed the nutrition by not paying attention to soil health. Then about 25, 30, 40 years ago, people said, well, maybe we could make it more, we can make industrial agriculture, quote, more sustainable. But if you've already destroyed much of the soil, destroyed much of the habitat, just sustaining that and maybe not getting so much worse isn't necessarily the great solution. But sustainable agriculture was the buzzword in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And then there became a movement of the word around regeneration. Robert Rodale started using that, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And that the idea is to regenerate or restore, So if you're a farmer and you have half as much topsoil or half as much organic matter in the soil, so for example, a lot of farms only have 1 to 2% organic matter. And in a matter of 4 or 5 years, through doing very such as regenerative practices, you can then double the amount of organic matter in the soil. And so regeneration is very important. And some of the basic concepts are keep the soil covered, armor for the soil. Unfortunately, and no plowing, not disturbing the soil or minimal plowing, increasing biodiversity. So that can mean instead of just growing corn, soybean, introduce other crops in there, introduce perennial systems, grass systems, tree crops. And that can help increase biodiversity. And if you do those things, you create more fertility. You don't need to spend as much money on inputs. And so that's the idea and the vision to move forward. And agriculture is one of the largest contributors to our climate crisis and our environmental crisis. Unfortunately, we have been myopic and just focusing on carbon, like carbon is an enemy. And so we want to attack the enemy like the oil industry. There's a great new book out called Regeneration by Paul Hawken. He wrote also a book called Drawdown. That's a good thing for this. We talk about this in the film Kiss the Ground that I helped start. But the end of the day, we're focused more on, quote, how climate change is this hopeless, long-term issue that's causing issues, and forgetting about some simple things that we can do. And two of the major biological biodiversity issues that are facing the planet and humanity is, number one, is the loss of winged insects. This is something you don't see mentioned in New York Times, or hardly ever, or the New York Times, Bloomberg, Guardian, et cetera. They like to talk a lot about, quote, plant-based or climate smart agriculture, et cetera. But they fail to talk about this. And essentially, 75% of all winged insects, I'm talking about like bees, butterflies, ladybugs.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Etc. Dragonflies have disappeared in the last 50 years. The number one cause is agricultural chemicals as well as habitat loss. If you drive up the major agriculture valleys, such as the San Joaquin Valley in California, if you did it when you and I were a boy, there would be, where
bugs on the windshield, right?
the windshield, they'd be all over, it'd be all over that. And today, you do the windshield test, and the bugs aren't there. And we're losing 1 to 2% a year. It also works at the chromosome level. And there's a book called Our Stolen Future. So essentially, it is causing issues at the chromosome level, in terms of the expression of the gene. So we're getting all sorts of strange diseases and other behavioral things because of these agriculture chemicals, and people don't know that. And so the second thing is that in our oceans, the basis for much of the life on this planet is our oceans. It's our largest oxygen supply. It's a large food supply for a lot of humanity and habitat. There's this thing called plankton, microalgae, and everything in the ocean either eats the algae and eats this plankton, or eats what eats the plankton. And we've lost 50 to 60%. And again, you never see this word ocean acidification ever mentioned. I don't want to talk to people about it. And as we lose 1 to 2% a year, we're starting, the oceans are becoming a biological desert. It's the reason why seals were washing up dead on the California coastline. They were just running out of food a few years ago. And the reason why the plankton is dying is oceans are becoming warmer from climate change. Secondly, they are absorbing, the oceans are a giant sink for carbon. And so as we burn fossil fuels, as we plow our fields, as we do degenerative agriculture, all that carbon goes up the atmosphere and then it falls in the oceans. And if you fast forward what the ocean acidification level will be, and the ocean needs a particular balance between acidity alkaline. That if you actually do an experiment, the plankton in what we expect the acidification of the ocean to be in 2040, there's not much that's living there. So essentially, unless we make a change, we have a lot of issues coming on. So we need to restore our soils, because we can take that excess carbon that's in the ocean and the atmosphere and bring it back into the soils and regenerate our land.
In 1999, you founded Nutiva, the world's leading organic brand of hemp, coconut, chia, red palm superfoods. During your time as CEO, you became one of the most successful entrepreneurs in the organic food industry. Nutiva's 1% sales programs generated at least $500,000 to organizations such as Vote Hemp and the Hemp Industries Association, representatives of both which have been on this show. You were also a part of the successful legal victory against the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency in 2004, which paved the way for hemp to be a legal food product for public consumption. We have a little under 2 minutes for the first break, but are you satisfied with the legal status of hemp as a food product, or is there still work to do?
Yeah, I think for food, I think it's good. We need to deregulate more, for the CBD side. And right now there's a lot of hassles on that. And I think the CBD, the THC level at 0.3%, that would be good to go to 1%. So there's some work to be done there. But yeah, we were successful working, in our industry to sue the DEA and won that lawsuit and paved that way. So, and Nutiva means nut of sativa.
No, I didn't know that. Wow. As executive director of Seattle Hemp Fest for 30 years, of course, I've been well aware of your work, but I didn't realize that the name had that origin. That's really interesting. We've got a little under a minute to the first break. A lot of the industrial hemp, produced in America today is going to CBD oil extraction. But really, hemp has myriad uses. Do you think that that's an issue, or is it just, do we just need to have more hemp grown and the more processing facilities across the United States?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's the hemp can be used for 25,000 books, and I've written several books on hemp, including Hemp Horizon and Industrial Hemp back in the 90s. The issue is the markets are just not developed for hemp as much. But what's starting to change is the price of fiber is going up, and because of inflation. So all of a sudden, the European hemp processors used to go bankrupt every 5 to 10 years, many of them. Now, all of a sudden, they're doing much better because of some of the supply chain challenges and the shortages of fiber. So I think there is some potential there. There's a lot of demand for the herd for building materials, but they haven't been able to figure out how to process the long fiber through the decortication process. So there's still challenges there, but they're working on things. There is really an innovation from Revolution Hemp on how to take the hemp seed and convert it into an amazing hemp protein powder using the shell it first. So it's a white protein, not a green protein. And they're hoping to figure out how to use the shell in like graphene and other graphite and other valuable added products.
Great. I am talking to John Rulak. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our second segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with John Rulak. John, America is a bastion of illness and obesity, excuse me, and more than half of all Americans are on pharmaceutical drugs. U.S. COVID deaths outnumber those of any other nation. Hours ago, you penned an article about the Food and Drug Administration and how Americans perceive that organization, especially during this pandemic. In your opinion, what should Americans know about the FDA?
Yeah, that's a great question. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has essentially overseen the regulation of a food industry that's created dis-ease, inflammation, and a host of health conditions, and the process of also destroyed nature. And they also do that on the food side. And the drug side, you know, 9 out of 10 of the FDA or 8 out of 10 FDA commissioners, as I wrote in my recent article, went on to work in the pharmaceutical industry after they left. So the FDA essentially has a very cozy relationship with the pharmaceutical industry. Ironically, much of what Americans think is scientific facts about the pharmaceutical industry, about COVID, is unfortunately marketing claims. And ironically, most of my environmental and liberal friends were on the same page with me, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. But because Trump kind of zigzagged all around, because of QAnon crazy conspiracy theories, and because of constant drumbeat of fear, people have flipped and now believe what the FDA says. Ironically, the hospitals for much of the latter half of 2021 were empty in northern India, in Uttar Pradesh and Delhi, India, and also in Tokyo, because they use early treatment of vitamin D, vitamin C, and ivermectin. And there's 4 or 5 different repurposed drugs that have used for other purposes. Ivermectin is used a lot in Africa and in equatorial countries. But there's so much misinformation. And also one of the reasons why Japan's doing so well, they have a heavy vitamin D diet. So I encourage people to do vitamin D, take up to 5,000 units. That's what many doctors recommend, international units. And that helps your body promote, reducing viral replication. So we need a healthier diet. We need to be, COVID is real. It's not something you want to mess around with. But the hospital certainly could be much less impacted if we would do early treatment programs and if Americans would be using vitamin D. And ironically, many countries around the world, that don't have as much money, provide their citizens with vitamin D, and we do not, such as El Salvador and northern India.
I mean, is it true to say that a stunning degree of the illness in America could be rectified just by a change in lifestyle and diet?
Yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah, but people are given misinformation, in my article I put a chart called Medical Science where I talk about what the FDA was promoting. So I encourage people to read that. It's almost laughable when you think about this. And this is the same agency that we're told that essentially. That they harass doctors. Did you know that a doctor will be fired in a hospital if a COVID patient comes in and they says, okay, let's give them vitamin D and vitamin C? They are either fired or reprimanded. This is the ultimate madness. We're actually using a drug called remdesivir, which is very toxic. It's shown it doesn't save any lives. In fact, it kills more people. There's hardly any studies. Cost the U.S. government $3,000. And instead, we could be using four or five repurposed medicines, from fluoxetine to ivermectin, which costs very little. And doctors regularly have been using it. And the doctors that did use it are harassed. Sadly, many of our environmental liberal friends, which I talk about in my article on Substack, you just Google my name, John Rulak, in Substack, they can't believe this. And they are so caught up in this, I hate Trump, and I'm for anything that Trump, if whatever Trump's for, I'm against. And it's really, we don't have time for hate. We need to let go of hate. And to me, if a Republican wants to promote hemp, I don't hate them. If a Republican wants to promote access to medical freedom, that's great. If a Democrat wants to, you know, reduce bombing people in other countries, I'll support that. But this whole thing about we have to hate one side and destroy each other is a sickness of our culture and social media. And frankly, it's a sad reflection of our society, and we need to do better. And we all fall down sometimes. You know, you and I probably do things we prefer not to. You know, we get frustrated. It's a frustrating society when we're looking at a screen so many hours a day.
Right. And then there's just a stunning lack of nuance that social media has helped to drive, right? We could do a whole show on any of these subjects, but I want to try to get a couple more questions in quickly here. We have about 4 minutes till the next break. John, nanoplastic pollution has been detected in polar regions for the first time, revealing that microscopic plastic particles are now pervasive everywhere. The nanoparticles are smaller and more toxic than microplastics, which have also been detected across the globe. How big a role does single-use plastic food packaging, as a CEO of a food company for many years, how big of a role does this single plastic food packaging play in the environmental plastics crisis, and what's being done about it?
Yeah, the packaging, single-use plastic is a real challenge. There's more tonnage of plastic in the ocean than there is sea life today.
Wow.
Stunning. What we really need is much more R&D. And there's just not good ecological packaging material options always for the food industry and the consumer packaged good industry. We need billions of dollars in R&D grants to work on this. We put lots and lots of money on solar and wind, but you can't expect, you know, the smaller entrepreneurs to change the industry just, you know, to try to do the R&D. We need you know, examine whether from mushrooms or recycled material or from hemp, etc. But that's really what's really needed. But people need to just cut down on use of packaging. Definitely. And it's a real challenge. And glass is very heavy and isn't always recycled. So there is some interesting things that are going on, and I've been kind of, you know, the forefront to see things, and there's a lot of promising things, and they just never seem to get to the marketplace for a variety of economic or
social. Like biodegradable hemp plastics and stuff that probably need more development, right?
Hemp can be good in solid, I haven't seen it as much in heavy, in compostable plastic as much. It's not as, just doesn't quite work as well in that area, at least in my view that I've seen it. But it can be used for, like, if you were making a trash can, you know, you can put, or other compost bin, you could put hemp in there with that. And more people are starting to look at that.
We have about a minute to the next break. So quickly, corporations have made big climate pledges that are largely ringing hollow. But really, you know, it's the consumer that is creating the waste and the demand. What do you think the average consumer can do to make a difference in preserving and mending our biosphere?
Yeah, excellent question. I mean, understand that do the best that you can, whatever that is for you. If you're not, one thing, if you're not composting, compost your food scraps. can you drive a little less? You know, and can you elect leaders that are going to take this more seriously? And see what you can do. Can you make your vocation, your job, to work for an organization that's more interested in the environment than just bottom line? We face an intense crisis. I'm of the view that society in America is in the process of a social decay and collapse. Yeah. Over the next decade, not only economically, but ecologically. And so we need to create better systems that can deal with this. But it's very complicated. You know, there's 7-8 billion people on the planet. Everybody has a different view on things. And unfortunately, the 0.1% are very powerful and have set up a system of, you know, Republicans against Democrats, liberals or conservative, Caucasians against BIPOC, all these different divisions. And it's unfortunate that we live in that world, but we got to just do the best that we can. And there's a lot of miraculous things about life. Don't be, need to be a Debbie Downer. life is amazing. We need to do what we can. And I've been at this for 40 years. Take care of your own health and work on your own self. That definitely is a good step. But see what you can do to help your local environment and your local community.
All right, we're going to take another break and come back with our final questions for John Rulak.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Back with John Rulak. John, I greatly appreciate you taking time out to speak with me today. We talked a lot about what you've done. I'm just curious, what projects are you doing now that you're excited about? And what final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. Well, one of the projects that I recently started up is called Agroforestry Regeneration Communities, ARC. And Agroforestry Regeneration Communities is focused on implementing more food forests in the global south. We're specifically working in Guatemala and in East Africa. And what we do is we don't actually start up new projects. We take existing kind of, you know, social entrepreneurs, NGOs, permaculture people, people who know how to plant trees, and helping them. And the benefits is they a lot of times it's interesting whether you're in Guatemala or Malawi, two of our great projects, Contour Lines in Guatemala and Permaculture Paradise in Malawi, is they all grow maize or corn, and they get very little money for it, and it only grows once, you know, they get one crop a year. So we'll oftentimes help them convert part of their fields and putting in tree crops. Now, some of those tree crops will actually fertilize the corn crop so they get better yield on the corn that naturally from fixing nitrogen from the air and through the roots instead of having to buy chemical fertilizers, which have doubled in the last year. And then we also plant various types of, you know, whether it's from mangoes, you know, to avocados, different types of tree crops that provide income and more nutrition. We can also then grow in between these tree crops, things like cassava, things like sugarcane, pineapple, turmeric, ginger. And so I'm enjoying that. We were recently successful in getting a $400,000 grant from One Tree Planted, a group. And then we got those trees in Guatemala. So we planted about 1,200 food forests, the group that we work with down there. And our goal is to plant hundreds of thousands of food forests in the next 5 years. And what we find is when people have that, they don't necessarily want to migrate and leave their area. They're better able to deal with more storms because their soils are more rooted with more, you know, it doesn't wash away, multiple income sources. And so we're excited to be able to do that. And really, as someone who's a Caucasian privileged, you know, man who was successful, you know, with my founding Nativ, et cetera, it's my way to play it forward. And I really like helping small farmers. These are farmers under 1 hectare that most people just ignore. And as the earth gets more challenged with extreme climate, putting in food forests and having a way to recycle, cycle carbon and water and create a better economic system for them is something that I enjoy and gives me something that I'm playing it forward. So I encourage people to check it out. We just did a webinar and had over 350 people sign up on a worldwide webinar. So check out Agroforestry Regeneration Communities. We're on Instagram and also on the website and YouTube.
John Rulak, wow, man, you are, I don't know how you find time to sleep, man. Thanks so much for being on the show. And thank you for Kiss the Ground. My wife and I learned so much from watching the documentary on Netflix. Keep up all the amazing work.
Yeah, thanks. And thank you for being on the show. By the way, we're going to have a sequel to Kiss the Ground. It'll be out in about a year. It's going to be Let's take note, you know, it's not going to be as politically correct. It's going to be a little harder. And then we're going to do one that's going to be more internationally focused. So, you know, definitely follow Kiss the Ground, you know, feeds, check that out, share with your friends. And I also wrote an article, called Make America's Rivers Blue Again. And I really dive into this false dichotomy that animals are bad and plants are good, that like Bloomberg and New York Times, and now Facebook is even advocating, and vegans. There's nothing wrong with being vegan. David Braun is a vegan, but he focuses more on a regenerative diet. So check out Make America's Rivers Blue Again. Again, that's at my Substack. You can read some of my articles. And thanks again for having me on, and let's regenerate.
All right. That concludes this installment of Hemperson on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice to find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. See you next week, folks. Stay strong. Marijuana.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.